We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be speaking with a member of the Executive Committee of the American Society of Yad Vashem, Adina Burian. Did you hear about this? Yad Vashem had this Holocaust symposium. Over 40 heads of state and other such dignitaries were there. And they talked about the Holocaust. That's a really pretty amazing thing. And we'll be talking with Adina in this half hour of the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Bo. It is the shortest named Parsha. It's not the shortest Parsha, but it's the one with the shortest name, Bo. And we'll be talking about that. And it's got the Exodus. We're really in the thick of Exodus story stuff. We have a wonderful assortment of music, and pretty much every song that we're playing today has some kind of story, and we'll tell you about that. A great story, speaking of which, at the end of the hour, before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and opposition leader Benny Gantz were invited to the White House to meet with President Trump this week. The president announced that he has the deal of the century for Middle East peace. Stay tuned. A man was stabbed in the shoulder near Hebron. The terrorist was immediately arrested by IDF troops. The injured man remains in stable condition at Shaare Tzedek Hospital. Two people were injured by stone throwers near Hebron. Three Arabs were arrested near Gush Etzion with Molotov cocktails. There was an uptick in balloon bombs launched from Gaza into southern Israel this week. One bomb landed on the front door of a family and did not explode. The bomb was detonated by a robot sapper. 40 heads of state, I said, as we've mentioned before, were in Jerusalem this week for the 5th World Holocaust Forum, commemorating the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Included were Vice President Mike Pence and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as well as Russian President Vladimir Putin. There was one anti-Semitic attack in Brooklyn this week. A 16-year-old girl struck a woman in the head and pushed her to the ground. The girl was arrested and charged with a hate crime. The woman is fine. It snowed in northern Israel this week, and it's still raining. The Kinneret, Israel's largest reservoir, is now just over 4 feet from the maximum fill line. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We are online with Adina Burian. She's with the Executive Committee for American Society of Yad Vashem, was in attendance at the anniversary celebration that was just done at Yad Vashem for the liberation of Auschwitz. How are you today, Adina?
I'm well. Thank you for having me on your show.
It is indeed an honor, and we appreciate it. And we know you probably got back late last night and somewhat left some of your molecules there, and hopefully they'll catch up to you and you'll be able to take care of things. So tell us, I'm not going to go into like how far back we have to go with this, because I'm assuming at this point that everybody in the entire world knows what the word Auschwitz means and what it connotes. But tell us about the need for a 75th anniversary commemoration of the proportion that Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Memorial in Israel, did.
Well, I actually got back this morning, so I hope I have a few brain cells. I'm really happy to be on the program because I think it was an incredibly important moment and event in Jerusalem yesterday. It's interesting. One of the world leaders pointed out that 75 years is almost a lifetime, and yet we seem to be forgetting many of the lessons we learned, which is how evil this place Auschwitz was and how the world could sort of become evil and see itself at its worst moment. And I think it's incredibly important to mark the occasion and realize that we don't seem to have learned the lessons we were supposed to have learned, that bigotry and hatred can bring the entire world down. I mean, 6 million Jews were killed, and in the process, over 50 million people died in World War II. And I think it's important that we see and take note of the rise in anti-Semitism across the world. And it was important that you had world leaders from 50 countries represented that have noted the rise in anti-Semitism and want to do something collectively to stop that, because they realize how dangerous that is to the Jewish community and to their countries. And they acknowledged such yesterday.
It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I'm just wondering, so you have a head of state, someone of the caliber of a Vice President Pence or a President Putin, I'm assuming they all expect it to be able to talk. And how could you tell the head of a state, sorry, you only get 3 minutes, but if you have all these people talking, they would still be talking if they talked as long as they wanted to. So tell us tell us about the program, please. It's very interesting, the whole thing.
So I think that the world leaders that actually spoke represented the allies. So you had the United States, you had Prince Charles of Great Britain, you had Macron of France, and you had, Putin, who represented the Soviet Union or Russia, who liberated Auschwitz in January of 1945. In addition, the Prime Minister and the President of Israel spoke. The head of Yad Vashem spoke, and the former chief rabbi of the State of Israel, who himself is a Holocaust survivor, spoke. So I think there was a logic to who spoke, because I have no doubt that everyone in the room would have something beautiful and important to say. But everyone was represented in various other ways throughout the ceremony, because the world leaders had so much to say. It was quite a long program, but it was incredibly inspiring. Oh, and I'm sorry, there was one other final speaker who was actually very incredible to listen to, and that is the head of Germany, Steinmeier.
Mm-hmm.
And he really spoke about collective responsibility and the guilt of the German people, and it was incredibly moving. It felt very sincere, and he really spoke about the type of guilt that he feels as the head of Germany.
That's fascinating.
And the need to stop anti-Semitism today.
That's really fascinating. First of all, now, so let's say that I was, for example, the president of Argentina or the head of the president of Albania, for example. And this is in their country. These are very important people. And I'm being invited to come as a participant and sit and listen. What was the attraction for the other 35, 40 heads of state to come participate in this symposium, Adina?
So first of all, while they did not speak, they attended a dinner the night prior at the home of the President of Israel, which I gather was a beautiful evening, and they obviously had the time to meet and interact with all the other world leaders. And during the ceremony itself, each head of state that represented their delegation was called to lay a wreath publicly, and they were, you know, called out by name and walked up to the podium individually. So everyone took part in that part of the ceremony. In addition, there was a photo in front of the entire gathering of all of these heads of state and heads of delegations. So I do think they had some level of participation in the program. But I think it was an opportunity to say this matters. And I'm here because we want to do something as a group. And I am hopeful that that is why they came yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the takeaway was then, Adina Bunim?
I think, unfortunately, the takeaway is this is a real problem. Anti-Semitism is on the rise, and it's not just affecting a single country. We see it in the United States. We see it in New York. That's where I am. We see it in the countries of Europe. We see it all over the place. I mean, as you mentioned, we've seen it in Argentina. And it's important to take note of it and to talk about practical steps to trying to contain this problem.
Mm-hmm. Were you involved with the organization at all? Do you know some of the backstories? Like maybe there were heads of states who were invited but refused to come?
I mean, there's the obvious tension right now between Russia and Poland that everyone's been speaking about. So I assume that we all have the same facts because we've been reading the same newspapers. I gather that the Polish president wanted to speak and was not asked to speak. I think it was, you know, Israel put out a statement that, as I mentioned, they had the allies speak, those that, you know, fought the Nazis to win back Europe and the world. And Germany spoke, I guess, as the perpetrator. So I understand that Poland was not happy. I think they also expressed some outrage about an event in Israel, given that there is a commemoration in Auschwitz, which I believe is this coming week. And that's been very public. But other than that, I don't think I've heard anything negative.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect that
to say I don't agree, but...
Understood. Do you expect that the commemoration in Auschwitz would attract a similar type participation, per se?
I know that there are world leaders that are flying to Poland. There are many Jewish delegations, and I'm hopeful many non-Jewish delegations. I'm just not aware of them that are going to Poland. I know they're trying to bring back survivors for this commemoration. In fact, my father-in-law is a survivor of Auschwitz. He is, thank God, alive, but not healthy enough to travel, but he was invited. So I don't know entirely who's going, but I do know that you'll have representation from all of the above.
Mm-hmm. How important is it? Because one of the things that we know is we have a very active Holocaust memorial here in Detroit. And how important is it that these memorials, these museums, get the word out about the Holocaust?
You know, it's interesting. Most of the world leaders spoke about the most important tool today being education, and that all the statistics point to the fact that people with education are far less likely to perpetrate this type of evil. I think it's really important to note that a democratically elected leader, Adolf Hitler, tried to, you know, kill off and annihilate an entire people. I mean, it's the worst evil the world has ever seen in proportions the world has never seen, and I think it's important that people know what are the signs of perhaps that type of evil recurring, and therefore to be vigilant and to say never again and mean it.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me then, people go to Israel. The average person goes to Israel every few years, every 5 years, every 10 years. Somebody who hasn't been to Yad Vashem in, say, 10 years, and they were very impressed with it. At that time, the exhibit for the memorial of the 1 million children who were killed was open already. What's new at Yad Vashem that would warrant somebody going back to, who's spending time in Israel and only there, most people go for 10 days, that they should go back for another visit to Yad Vashem, Adina?
So I guess there's several things. I personally spend a lot of time at Yad Vashem. I find myself there at least once a year. there are always new exhibits. There's always new temporary exhibits. So there's always something new to learn there. There are parts of the campus that continue to be developed. For example, right now they're working on constructing an enormous archive and educational center so that all of the artifacts that they have collected, which is an extensive, extensive collection, could be, you know, saved properly in perpetuity. And in addition, all the educational resources that are not now available. But I think the museum also continues, you know, to expand, and the exhibits are new. But frankly, I don't think anyone's 3 to 4 hour exhibit is going to even scratch the surface of what's available on the Mount of Remembrance.
Mm-hmm. So definitely worth it. Now, so what about linking up with, you know, just talking about some technical stuff since you're on the executive committee for the Friends of, or the Society, American Society of Yad Vashem. So there's a Holocaust Memorial in New York. Is there any type of a link up between the two facilities, Yad Vashem and the New York facility?
There are various partnerships and educational efforts. And I don't know, I'm not sure if there's a specific link up, but I know that our organization is always looks to partner with other organizations for educational opportunities in the United States. Perhaps that answers your question. Mm-hmm. We also, I know we work with various educational programming and the like. I hope that's a decent answer.
Okay, so like if I were to go to the New York facility, for say, and say I need to have some kind of access to a Yad Vashem something or another for research that I'm doing, or I'm trying to track down an aunt who perished in the 1940s. Is that up and running? Is there such a thing like that in existence?
You know, I'm not sure if you were to walk into the Battery Park Holocaust Museum, whether you would be able from there to access the archives at Yad Vashem, but you could also just go on the Yad Vashem webpage to do that. Mm-hmm. I think we have partnerships more in the avenue of specific educational initiatives.
Okay, cool. Now, so we're one more question for you before we go, and we really do appreciate your time. So it's been 75 years. So what's next for Yad Vashem then?
Wow, that's the big question. That's a question we discuss often. What is next? Unfortunately, we're watching the generation of survivors leave us, which is very sad. For many of us, we're losing our loved ones, but it's very sad to lose our eyewitnesses and our firsthand testimonies. And I think Yad Vashem is making efforts to make sure that they are documenting the stories of any survivor that has yet to give them testimony or the names of relatives that were killed. Yad Vashem has so far collected, I believe it's about 4 million of the 6 million names. And it's over 4 million. And they want to get to 6 million. We want to have a record of every Jewish soul that was lost. I think they're also really changing and thinking hard about their educational efforts. We're educating a generation that's very different from the generations between the war and now, when there were survivors available to speak to them. People know less about the Holocaust. People are not going to have the opportunity to hear it directly from someone who survived. So I think Yad Vashem is working towards archiving, education, personal testimonies, and they're very busy thinking about the future.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of
and
the
I
future.
I think they also need to, and I know they are, thinking about what do we do about anti-Semitism. I know they feel that they have a level of responsibility to educate the world about that as well, which is why the World Holocaust Forum was held at Yad Vashem.
Understood. Speaking of the future, so I can guess why you're involved with Yad Vashem is because of your father-in-law and the relationship that you have with them. But people who are millennials or Gen Zs, whose great-grandparents came to this country before the Holocaust, what's Yad Vashem doing to attract them?
So it's interesting. My father-in-law is a survivor. However, I probably fall into your category of people whose great-grandparents came to this country many, many years ago. Two of my grandparents were born in this country, and the other two came over in the early 1900s. I did not lose any relatives that I know of in the Holocaust. And I still find myself always wanting to learn more and trying to wrap my head around how it's possible to annihilate 6 million people. I mean, that's the Jewish population of the United States today. I mean, could you imagine? Mm-hmm. God forbid, that would wipe out the entire United States. And I think it's really important to understand how this happened in the modern world. How did a democratically elected leader try to do this and almost succeed? And I think the world needs to take note, and we need to figure out how we can pledge to never allow this to happen to Jewish people or anyone, anywhere.
That's very powerful. Okay, our guest today has been Adina Buran. She is part of the executive committee of the American Society of Yad Vashem. Was in attendance. That must have been amazing, flying back and forth so fast and being this whirlwind thing going on over there. The 75th commemoration of the liberation of Auschwitz. We want to thank you for coming on so much. It is indeed our honor, and we would like to hopefully be kept apprised for any future developments, Adina.
Well, I hope to speak with you again, or for someone else who represents Yad Vashem to speak with you again. We really appreciate the time you've given to learning more about yesterday's event and our very powerful and important organization.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, we're going to thank you so much, and take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Bye-bye. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. This is very sombering, and I'm going to switch gears because I really need to. Up next, this is Benny Friedman. This is a first. Almost 25 years of the Jewish Hour. We have never played one artist 3 weeks in a row. But Benny Friedman, he's done some prolific stuff over here. He's very good. This is Kulana Nelchin. We're all going to return when Mashiach comes.
יש צבא גדול שלוחם מכל הלב ונותן את הכל לא חושב מה יהיה ומוסר את הלב אחד בשביל כולם כולם בשביל אחד רצים קדימה יש נועם קטן מפוזר בכל קצוות תדל יום יבוא קרוב מאוד ואז הוא יגאל רק מי ומי מי ומי מי ומי ומי יגיע בינרינו, בזקנינו, בבנינו, בבנותינו, בצוננו, בבקרנו, כולנו נלך. כולנו נלך. כל אחד מישראל, בסוף יגאל. זה לא חשוב מאיפה באת, מי אתה, לאן אתה הולך. כולנו ילדים שלך, בירוחם. כל אחד מישראל, בקרוב יגאל. זה לא חשוב מאיפה באת, מי אתה, לאן אתה הולך. כולנו ילדים שלך, בירוחם. ועובר הזמן, מרגישים שהעולם כבר ממש מוכן. עוד שנה עברה ועוד שבוע נעלם. שהוא יגיע
ראינו הכל והלב צמא ולא למים רק לשמוע את הכל שיודיע מי ומי מי ומי מי ומי ומי יגיע בנערינו בזקנינו בבנינו בבנותינו בצוננו בבקרינו כולנו נלך כולנו
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Here, Schulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is Yoeli Davidovich. As Mashiach vet kumen, vet men weisen mit the finger. When Mashiach comes, we'll be able to point with our finger at God. Let's listen.
Yeah.
And that was Yoeli Davidovich. Up next, Sam Glasser is singing this one. This song's called Talia's Song. It's called Light Up the World. And it marks the third Yahrzeit of anniversary of the passing of Talia Hyken, a 10-year-old girl from Australia who was tragically killed when a terrorist ran over people in Melbourne's Bourke Street Mall. The words were written by Talia for a poetry contest, which she entered about lighting Shabbos candles. So this one goes out for Talia. Let's hear.
When you light up a candle, you light up your neshama, and you light up the world. And when you light up the world, you make it a better place, like for you, everybody. Now the world is dark, but soon it will be bright for us. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Mashiach will come. Now the world is dark, but soon it will be bright for us. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Mashiach will come. When you light candle, you light up your neshama, and you light up the world. And when you light up the world, you make it a better place, like for you, you, me, and everybody. Now the world is dark, but soon it will be bright. Yirtzeh Hashem, Mashiach will come. Now the world is dark, but soon it will be bright for us. Yirtzeh Hashem, Mashiach will come.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Hey, Schulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Bo. And it is the Exodus of Egypt, which is, pretty much important, yes. It is, as we say, the birth of the nation. Indeed, there's a discussion which is brought down, I think, and believe in the, it's really in the Talmud, that there were the three greatest miracles that were wrought for the Jewish people in the Bible were the Exodus, the splitting of the sea, and the Sinaitic revelation, the giving of the Torah. It's described that through the sea, as they crossed through the sea, they said, Ze keli van vehu, this is my God, and I will glorify him. Indicating, when you say this, you can only say this if you're pointing at something. They were actually, they could actually see the Almighty. And to them, the Almighty looked like a soldier, a young man, very strong, very robust, etc., with outstretched sword. At Sinai, the revelation of the Almighty was perceived as a sage. That's probably where we get the idea of God being this old man up sitting up on a throne, or old man sitting at a desk, or whatever it is that this old man is doing. But we know God's not an old man. It's just their impression. At the Exodus, when the Jews were swifted away from Egypt, they didn't see anything. There's no description. It was a tremendous revelation, but it doesn't describe anything that they saw. And the answer is, there are a few answers, but the answer that's given in this context is that with the Exodus, the Jewish people were in a nascent state. As I said before, just somewhat glibly, tongue-in-cheekly, the birth of a nation, but that's where they were up to. What does a newborn baby recognize? Really, not a whole lot. That it's cold, maybe hungry, maybe like not comfortable. Newborn babies don't recognize a whole lot. And therefore, the Jewish people didn't recognize what was happening to them at that time. They knew something fantastic happened. As you can imagine, an entire population with all their belongings in the blink of an eye, traveling basically 120 kilometers. So they knew something. Ooh, what just happened? But it was happened so fast, it was like if you blinked, you missed it. And there they were. At the sea, they had already experienced divinity for an entire week. So they were at the level of a youth. In the Hebrew, it's a nar, a young person. So they, the Jewish people, experienced the Almighty as a young person. 7 weeks went by. And at this point, the Jews are eating manna from heaven. They are protected by the clouds of glory. They are drinking the well which is traveling with them, the well of Miriam. Their whole entire existence and being has been totally permeated. They are now growing up. And so by the giving of this of the Torah, they could now appreciate on a greater level the divinity of the Almighty. And therefore, they were like at the level of sage. And could appreciate this sagely aspect of the Almighty. So the real kudo that has to go out to the Jewish people is they didn't say, you know, we had three miracles. This one was done by this God, and the second one was done by this one, and the third one was done by this third God. No. And that's precisely why the Ten Commandments say, I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. Meaning the same thing that you experienced way back when, a mere 49 days ago, by the way, but when you were just born as a nation, it's exactly the same. Don't think that there is something else going on over here. Where do we take this now? What are we going to do with all this now? Throughout a person's lifetime, we experience these various stages. Birth, youth, development, old age. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say that you don't need to look at a person's passport to tell them how old they are. But rather, where is that person right now? And indeed, the previous Rebbe would say, you could have a 70-year-old who in real years is like a 5-year-old because that's where their development and their appreciation of Judaism and the Almighty and spirituality is. And you can have a 20-year-old who has the appreciation and the age, you might say, of a venerable sage. So years isn't what matters. It's what we're doing with those years. And therefore, a person can't say at any time, you know, I'm too old. No, baloney, Bubba Mises. Do you think there were any old people that left Egypt? Imagine. I'm sure there were plenty of grandfathers and grandmothers that left Egypt. And when they left Egypt, they were at the same level of appreciation as the 5-year-olds. Excuse me. I'm getting excited over here. The same levels as the 5-year-olds. Person should say, what am I going to do today? What's going to make today better than yesterday? How am I going to get more aware? How am I going to develop myself more? We know with everything in this world that if a person's not getting better, they're going backwards. Yeah, for example, this is my classic example. A person graduated dental school. Let's say he went to, Yale University Dental School. I don't even know if Yale has a dental school. I know they have a medical school. Let's say they have a dental school, and their dental school is really hard to get into. They take like 7 people per class. And it's like this is the higher echelon dentists. And there's this person who graduated in 1980. And he was married a nice, wealthy family, and the father-in-law set him up in an office, say, at 9 Mile and Greenfield in the Advanced Building, for example, over there, or 17017 9 Mile, in that big, tall building where doctors practice. And he's the best. He's like number one, the number one dental school. He's got the latest equipment. It's 1980. And since then, he has never opened up a book, never read a dental journal, never updated his equipment. Would you go to such a dentist? Absolutely not. But he's still doing the same things he was doing in 1980. But if you don't keep up, you're going backwards. His ways and approaches to dentistry are antiquated. He might as well just be a dinosaur. It's the same thing also with our Judaism. Judaism is not something that happened 3,300 years ago with the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah was not the end. That was the beginning. That's when God said, okay, here, now take it and run with it. The Torah in Judaism is a vibrant, living animal. And it is constantly growing and improving and getting better and more. And it's up to us to try and keep up. We are going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. We've got a tremendous Hasidic story for you. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herr Schulzman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest way would be to go to the website, rabbifinman.com, and to go on the homepage and hit contact. And then you can contact me, and I'll contact you, and everything will be just great. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Well, we've got archived editions of the radio show going back pretty close to 3 years already at this point. We would have them all if we could, but there's limited space, and that's the best we could do. But you could binge listen for 3 years worth. We also have archived editions of other things that we present an educational and entertaining way there for you to peruse and enjoy at your convenience. There is also the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour is mostly listener-sponsored, as Jerry Liebman, he should live well and be healthy, said in the ad before. And we have only been on air for what's going on now. Next month will be 25 years. It's a milestone, yes. We should push out a big special thing. Anybody want to organize a special thing for 25 years, just give me a call at Rabbi, or drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. We'll discuss what to do. And it costs. Every week costs. And every week for 25 years, we have had to come up with the guilt. And you, the listeners, have come up with the guilt. We could not have done it. We would not be here. Now, in 25 years of doing this, of podcasting and Facebook Living, we do record the show on Fridays. You can go to my Facebook page, Herschel Finman, if you want to see the show in 2D. It's really cool how I record a radio show. Mostly I'm just sitting in front of the mic and talking into it, which is what people do on the radio. But you could see that if that so interests you. And I'm looking down at my script, and I'm looking at the monitors, and sometimes I actually look into the camera. And you can catch it over there, and it's live. If you have a question for a guest, you can go to the Facebook when I'm recording it, which is around 11 o'clock on Friday mornings. And you can pose a question for a guest if you're listening and say, oh, wait, I wish Rabbi Finman would ask that. And then I can't have you on because Facebook hasn't have that yet. But sometime probably in the future, they'll come up with the technology for that too. There's a donations page on rabbifinman.com. And I need you. Yes, I'm talking directly. This is first person and second person singular. I need you to go to rabbifinman.com's donation page and make a donation, because you're listening. The show has been on now for close to 50 minutes and you're still listening. Would you like to listen next week or next month or continue to listen? Well, we need you to help. Go to rabbifinman.com. It's all safe, secure, it's through PayPal. And you can set it up so it's even a monthly donation. Want to do $25 a month? Terrific. You won't even see that. That's like two people going to the movies. And it'll make a tremendous difference. However much you give, do it. RabbiFinman.com. Donations, do it today. Don't forget. Don't like internet giving, putting your credit card out there. Understood. Drop your donation into the proper mailing receptacle and put the proper postage in the upper right-hand corner. Mail it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Again, that's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, 48220. The story today involves a certain Moshe Elov Lelov, the Lelova Rebbe. I believe he lived in the late 1800s. There was a disciple of his who was childless. And they went to the Lelova Rebbe and continually asked for brachas. And then finally, as the Lelover was planning to move to Israel, this disciple stopped him and cornered him, you know, on his, I don't know, not on the road per se specifically, but said, I'm not going to have a chance to ask you again. Will you please bless me to have a child? And he said, the year will not pass without you having, with you not having a child. Maybe you're going to have a kid this year. So this person was very smart and said, Rebbe, we have seen too often that in instances where it was very difficult having a child, that the child dies very young. I want a blessing that this child should live a long life. So the Rebbe stopped a second and thought and said, a day for a year. Meaning every day that I'm in Israel, that's how long the child will live in years. Okay. When the Lelover finally made it to Jerusalem, people could hear him saying, a year for a day. A year for a day. And they didn't know what he was talking about. The Lelover was actually in Israel for 74 days, and he passed away when he was 74 years old. And this child, whose name I don't have, also lived to be 74 years old. That's the show. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you take it as a good takeaway from today's very, very poignant and important interview that we had today. We hope to see you again back next week. Take care. Shift your days, I share.